Good morning. Before I begin, I just want to say a huge thank you to everybody. When I walked in this morning, everyone was very encouraging and just telling me that they were praying for me, and that gave me a lot of peace. You guys are like a family to me. And also, speaking of family, I just want to point out that my family is here and say a big thank you to them for being here to support me. So I want to begin by telling you a story. And as you can see, the title of this message today is Enjoying the River. And this story is about a river and something that I noticed that really changed the way that I see the body of Christ ever since I experienced it. So the story takes place in Mount Union, Pennsylvania, at Creation Festival. If you don't know what Creation Festival is, it's a Christian music festival. It's about 4 days long, and you usually camp. And if you've ever been to Creation, you know that it's very hot, and it's hard to escape that heat. So I was camping with my two younger cousins last summer, and we really needed an escape from that heat. So we decided that we would walk to a nearby river. And as we began wading through that river, we navigated the uneven rocks at the bottom, and we were supporting each other and trying to help each other to not fall. And it was just a really good time. And at first, it was just us at the river. But then soon, we were joined by a man with purple hair. And he really stuck out to me. He just peacefully sat by the water's edge, and he began to write in a journal that looked handmade. Then an older man came to the river. He drug his bike to the side and took snorkeling gear off of the handlebars and just stood in the shallows. And when I walked past him, he laughed and he said, "The fish are nibbling on my feet." I noticed his kind face, and he was a little bit skinny and he had long, straggly hair, but you could see deep wisdom and a glimpse of youth in his smile. So quickly, this river became full of unique people who seemed to be thoroughly enjoying the river in their own way, and they were enjoying each other too. Two young boys ran in excitedly, and they began throwing rocks at bigger rocks. I guess they were playing some sort of a game. A young man with spiky hair split a watermelon in half. I didn't see how this happened. And he proceeded to run into the river with it, sit down, put mud under his eyes, and begin to eat his watermelon. A group of young teen boys, drove their old beaten truck across the river while a group of others cheered them on. As each person came into the water, I watched them, really in awe of what I was seeing. It was a really funny picture. Everyone was having such a great time, and they were all doing very different things. The scene was full of such unique characters, yet with the same spirit, enjoyment of the water. The way that each person was interacting with the river seemed to show an impactful picture of how the people in the body of Christ enjoy God differently. They were all connected to one another through their time spent having fun in this body of water, just like God unites all of us in our enjoyment of himself. The characters in this story can teach us a lot about how different personalities can connect with God and how we can enter in that enjoyment personally. I encourage you to write down any of the ways that of enjoyment that stand out to you as I list them. So, the man writing poetry shows us that we can enjoy God by soaking in beauty by simple, quiet reflection, by creating something. The boys throwing rocks can show us that we can enjoy God by appreciating companionship just for the sake of companionship, by appreciating relationships around us and spending time with people who are like-minded. The young man with mud and a watermelon, he can teach us something. He can show us that letting go, embracing freedom and having fun is a way that we can find enjoyment in God. The young men driving the truck can show us that we can enjoy God by being adventurous and daring, by taking those big steps of courageous faith. This young man driving through the river can also show us that we need each other to be courageous. Driving that truck through the river would have been more of a daunting action if there weren't others to cheer the driver on. Encouraging others is another way to enjoy God. These are all very tangible ways of enjoying our relationship with God, and they're all unique to how we are created. The older man with the bike and the snorkeling gear impacted me the most. To me, he seemed like an overseer, yet he seemed wise beyond all around him, and yet involved in the simple joys with everyone else. And this is how I imagine Jesus to be. Jesus is so far beyond us in every way, and yet he finds purpose in that enjoyment. There are several instances in Scripture in which water is used as a metaphor to explain how God relates to humanity. There's a lot that we can learn from him through these simple and yet profound metaphors. God is in all living things and flows through all living things and is the source in which all living things originate, much like water. Water is the essence of life, just like God is the essence of life. Where there is no water, there is no life. So really, water is a miracle. And if you were in Sunday school this morning, I'm sorry if you're distracted by my plastic bottle. I promise to do better. But like I said, water really is a miracle. And it's easy to take it for granted because it's so readily available to us. We're all very aware that we need water to fill us up. It's a scientific fact that our bodies are utterly dependent upon water for survival. So I'm a biopsychology major at Messiah College, and so I really enjoy learning about the human body, and I thought that I would share with you some fun science facts. H2O, or in other words, water, is made up of two parts hydrogen and one part oxygen. It's one of the most essential elements to healthy living and thriving. It sounds really simple and really small, but this simple chemical formula equates for 2/3 of the human body. And here's some random facts that I find really fascinating. The driest part of the human body are the bones, but they're not actually that dry. They still consist of 30% water. And just to put that into perspective, the brain is about 73% water and the lungs 83%. Mental performance and physical coordination begin to decrease at just 1% dehydration, which is before we even start to feel thirsty. And at this point, we can feel symptoms of dizziness, nausea, drowsiness. The list goes on. If you're not a science person and you tuned all that out, this is what I want you to remember. Without water, we would die. And very quickly, just a few days, maybe even less. So I believe that this dependence that our human bodies have on water is no coincidence. This level of dependence can be equated to the church's dependence upon the Holy Spirit. The Bible refers to the church as the body and to God as living water. Just like the human body, the body of Christ needs to be nourished and filled with living water. In chapter 17 of Jeremiah, God is referred to as a spring of living water. Jeremiah states in verses 7 through 8, "Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit." There is a lot that we could look at from this chapter, but what I want us to learn from it is this. We learn from this verse that staying connected to the river is what keeps the trees alive, and not only alive, but thriving and bearing fruit. Earlier in this chapter, we learn that a tree planted elsewhere will become dry. As it is stated in verses 5 through 6, "Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes, and they will dwell in the parched places of the desert." So as we can see, there appears to be a contrast here between those who trust in the Lord and those who forsake him. So what seems to be the difference in the hearts of these two groups of people? In contrast with those who are forsaking God, the others are spoken about in terms of finding shelter in God's glorious throne. In verse 12, it says that God's glorious throne is a place of their sanctuary. In other words, a place of refuge and shelter. Their delight is in God to sustain them. I think this verse is very clear. The one who trusts in the Lord and puts their confidence in him are among those trees planted by the stream. To be planted, we must be trusting or putting our confidence in the spring of living water. Our delight must be in trusting God. So in this picture, notice that not only is the river sustaining for one individual tree, but it's actually the uniting factor of all of the trees. It's the picture of the body of Christ being united in their communion with God. So this dependence and enjoyment of God is not only an individualistic happening, it's corporate or something that we all do together. Even still, there's something very important that must begin and be sustained individually. As members of the body of Christ, we must come to an understanding for ourselves that God is that enjoyable source of living water. And in order for us to enjoy him, we have to understand that he is dependable, just like a spring of living water. So I'll be going into my junior year at Messiah College, and I've really enjoyed my time there. And while there, I've made a friend, quite a good friend, and she's actually from Brazil originally, but moved to Mozambique when she was 14. And if you don't know where Mozambique is, it's in the southern region of Africa, and they moved there to do missions work. And so one day I was talking to her, and actually ironically we were sitting by a river, and if you've ever been to Messiah, it's the Yellow Breeches. So I was explaining to her that day how I felt God leading me places where I felt uncomfortable and incapable. And to be honest, the very thing that I was speaking of in that moment was this church internship. I knew that it would require me, or at least give me opportunities, to get out of my comfort zone. And I'll talk more about that later. But first, I want to tell you that her response is something that has really stuck with me. She said something like this: "If there's one thing I've learned while living in Mozambique, it's that you can always trust the Holy Spirit. He will lead you to do things that you can't do yourself." And then she laughed and said, "Be careful when you say you can't do something, because pretty soon you'll find yourself doing those things." She went on to tell me of what that provision has looked like in her own experiences. It was very simply stated, and I've heard many people say the exact thing, but not with that confidence and assurance of its truth. To me, those words said, "Well, of course it's not something that you can do on your own, but that's why God has you doing it." So like I said, this internship, or I knew this internship would give me opportunities to get out of my comfort zone. I have a love-hate relationship with my comfort zone. I'm sure that many of you do too. Maybe you don't know what I mean, but let me explain. When I'm in my comfort zone, I feel safe, and yet partially unalive, like there's some part of my potential that's not being used. When I'm out of my comfort zone, I feel exposed and vulnerable. Yet, it is in these places that my eyes are wide open to the fuller glory of God. When I'm unwilling to do something that makes me uncomfortable, there seems to be a part of his beauty that I miss out on. So, getting out of my comfort zone is actually a way that I enjoy God. Because in that place of trusting, there is a new fullness of relationship that is uncovered. There's freedom and enjoyment in that place of being sustained by God. I enjoy him in that place of reliance, because I come to further understand that God really is trustworthy. So I have a question for all of us, or actually a series of questions, just to get us thinking. Do we really trust that the Holy Spirit will teach us what we should say? That he will give us wisdom? That he will provide for us? That he'll help us? That he'll come in that very moment that we need him? Do we really trust that he can take us and do something through us that we actually could not do without him? God taught me of a verse several years back when I was asking myself similar questions. This verse is Jeremiah 2:13. And it says, "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and they have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." So again, we see this terminology similar to what we saw in Jeremiah 17, where it talks about forsaking God, who is again spoken about in terms of living water. In Jeremiah 17, the verse mentions, the verse mentions trusting in mere flesh as strength, and that is what leaves us dry. Where this verse says that digging our own cisterns is what leaves us dry, what does that mean? In Bible times, a cistern was a reservoir that was dug for the collection and storage of water. They were especially important for dry seasons, but a broken cistern was practically useless, as it would hold little to no water. This message was spoken by Jeremiah in order to rebuke people who were no longer totally committed to their God. They were no longer trusting in God, but instead were trusting in themselves. If you read all of Jeremiah 2, you'll learn how the Israelites were turning away from the fountain of living water and looking in other places for their thirst to be quenched. In other words, they dug cisterns of idolatry and immorality for themselves in hopes that fleshly pleasures would satisfy their emptiness. And as you look at this picture, you may be reminded of the woman at the well. She left her water jar behind, or in other words, her hope in fleshly pleasures. She found new excitement in that spring of living water that Jesus had just spoken of. So whatever that hope in flesh may be in your life, the biblical story seems to plainly display that God longs for you to come deeper into a place of knowing him and relying on him so that you can understand the joy that is found in that place. So for me, comfort zones are those cisterns. They try to contain a certain amount of God within my own control. But God is not in my control. And when I let go of that, I find that I more fully experience the spring of living water. Comfort zones come from a fear that we ourselves are not able to do something. But feeling incapable gives us an opportunity to see God at work. This is where we have to be willing to step out in confidence that God will do something through us that we cannot do on our own. God will never seem like enough if we don't believe that he's enjoyable. We will constantly be searching for other things to fulfill us unless we come to truly enjoy God. So it's true. I feel that God uses rivers to speak to me in a way that is really special. Nature is just one of those ways that I personally find enjoyment in God. When I'm near a river, I feel connected to something so much larger than myself. I think about how all the water is connected, moving from one place to another, and yet I get to be a part of it at this moment in time, enjoying the water that so many others have, will, and are enjoying. This story of the river that I told at the beginning is a beautiful picture of that enjoyment. And like I mentioned, everyone was doing so in their own way. The man with purple hair was writing peacefully. The young boys were playing a game with rocks. The teenagers were driving their truck through the water. Everyone was doing something very different, and yet they were united in their enjoyment of the river. The very nature of a river is connection. We can sit alone all day and individually enjoy God, but we will miss out on the bigger picture of the body of Christ. We will miss something important about the river as well. We probably wouldn't see the river in its full beauty unless we watch another person's way of interacting with it, learning from their unique perspective. But I want to be careful here. We don't create our own image of God, but we simply enjoy the one who is. And often it can be a temptation to form God in our own image when we were formed in his. We are to come to Jesus because he is real and living. And though we all enjoy him differently, we'll find that he's consistent in character when relating to us. In healthy relationships, we enjoy each other. And this is what I mean when I say there are so many ways to find enjoyment in God. Just like we enjoy the people around us, we can learn of new and fun ways and learn of new and fun ways to spend time with them. We can also do so with God. We aren't meant to use or abuse people for our own pleasure, but we're meant to enjoy their presence. It's the same with God. He is not there for the purpose of our enjoyment, but being in relationship with him should be enjoyable. So, like I mentioned earlier, there are so many ways to find enjoyment in God. So many unique ways. I'll list some of them again, and if you didn't get a chance to write them down, you can do so now. Reflective solitude. Appreciating beauty. Being in nature. Spending time with like-minded friends. Being creative. Embracing freedom. Having fun. Letting go. Encouraging others. Being adventurous. And taking leaps of faith. God is flowing through all living things, just like water. And he is in all things that we do. Because of this, our relationship with him never has to be limited. The ways that we can spend time with him are endless. But to experience him more fully, our eyes must be open and our hearts willing to go deeper, to tear down those cisterns and to choose to be in reliance of living water and to be like those trees that are planted by the stream, that are thriving and fruitful. And to do this, we need each other. So one of my absolute favorite things about this church internship has been getting to know some of you just a little bit more. It's been a huge blessing. And when I look at all of you, I see that river. We all have such unique ways of enjoying God and of relating to God that is needed here. So, I give you this final question to ponder as you go. How do you enjoy God? And how are you going to do that moving forward? Just like drinking water, drinking of God's presence is a constant and daily choice that must be made for our thriving. And as we take communion this morning, let's remember that we are all unique characters, yet with the same spirit, enjoyment of the river. Thank you.